following audio is from Gold Country Baptist Church in Shingle Springs, California. Visit gcb.church to find more resources and to learn about our church.
I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ah, this is good. Yeah, I would like to remind you something very important. English is not my first language. My first language is French. And if you hear a word that is not well pronounced, don't forget that my accent is African. But I will do my best. I'm very happy to be here this morning. I will not be long. I know that in my country I'm used to tell stories, that can help people to understand or to be reminded the Word of God. I will talk about something that you know, and it should be a question that I will answer. Last Sunday was Easter. Some of you have been listening to Easter for so many years. You know all the details about Easter. Death, resurrection of our Lord Jesus, it's known. But today, we will remind ourselves from a question that we are asking, and we will hear what the Lord is going to tell us this morning. My question this morning, why the Lord Jesus died on the cross? Why? And I will ask Pastor Phil to read for us Romans 6:10-12.
For the death he died, he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions.
Yeah, we see that the answer is very simple. Very simple. The Lord died for our sins, and He died so that we can live for His glory. Yeah, I think when I will be talking historically, it will help a little bit more. He died for our sin. And He died so that we can be able to live again as it was His plan in the beginning. Pastor, you will read again
2 Corinthians 5:19-21. 2 Corinthians 5:19. And I'll go back to verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him, that's Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God.
The second answer: God was in Jesus Christ reconciling Himself with us. Something happened. Very serious problem happened in the Garden of Eden, the separation. And God was not happy. He wanted to reconcile us again with Himself. This is the second answer. I will develop that when I will be talking about what happened in the Garden of Eden. Number three, what is the reason why the Lord Jesus died? What, number one, He died for our sins. He died so that we can be able to live again for the glory of God. Number two, He died because he wanted us to be reconciliated with him. God is not happy when we are far from him. He wants us to be with him. And number 3, 1 Peter 2, 21 to 25.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly.
He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
Yes. He died so that we can come back to him. He wants to be our shepherd again. He stopped being our shepherd. He wants to be our shepherd again. He died for our sins. He died because we were not living again according to his glory. He died because we were not together with him, reconciled with him. He died because he wanted to be again our shepherd. But now, I will tell the story. What happened? If you want to know about what happened, we need to go back to the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, something very strange happened. The Lord created everything with the word, even the angels with the word. But when he wanted to create you and me, he used his hands. He said, let's go and create a man in our image. I can imagine God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit coming, touching the man. And Adam was there with animals, playing with animals, giving the names, doing all kind of things that he could do. Adam. But he has a mission. To take care of the world, to develop, to do many, 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 many things. It seems like he was playing too much. And God said, no, Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. I will bring somebody next to you so that you can do what I want you to do. And in Africa, there is a saying, if your boy has a certain age and is in much distraction, you need to look for a wife for him so that he may learn to be responsible.
Amen.
Yeah, it was like Adam, too much distraction. Oh, horse! Oh, monkey! How are you? Huh? I said, no. It will take as long as I will. And they said, what can I do? Adam will sleep and he will bring, he will take the bone from, you know the story. And that is my point. He was very happy when he woke up. And this story that I'm talking about, you will find it in Genesis 2, 23. Adam will say nice words. Oh, this time this is the bone of my bone. I don't forget, we're talking about why Jesus died. But we want to do something historical first so that we can remind each other a little bit. He was so very happy to see Eve, his wife. He said, I will no longer be with the monkeys, but now I have somebody who's like me. And Adam loved Eve as you have no idea. Eve was like himself because the Lord was in the middle. The Lord was there. He was supervising that union. The Lord was there taking care of both of them. They were in a good connection. Until the devil said, no. As long as these people will be in connection with their God, I will not control this world. I need to do something. What should I do? I need to push them to disobey God. This is what he did. And he succeeded. He came and said, no, you know the story. And finally, they sinned. And it was very serious. After they sinned, they could feel that, oh no, we did something really bad. And they started to be scary, to be afraid. And the Lord will call Adam. Adam! Adam! Yes. Where are you? No, I'm here. Oh, I heard your voice, but why? We are always in contact with you. Why today you are hiding yourself? Did you eat the fruit? You see? It's no longer bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He said, the woman that you put next to me, actress. It was very serious. Actress. Took place. It's your fault. It not says in the Bible. But if you did not put this woman next to me, I would not be in this situation. That tradition lasts longer until the Lord Jesus came. It lasts for a long time. Even Apostle Paul, in 1 Timothy 12, will say the same thing. He will not say Jesus saying that. He will say, I, Paul, that where there are many people, I don't want a woman to speak. It's from the tradition. And it was the disciple of Gamaliel, who was in Judaism. And he said, because in the verse 14, it's not Adam who sinned, it's Eve. But I like Paul. And finally, we say, oh, in Jesus, we need to be careful. There is no woman. There is no... I will not go there, but let me go back to how the sin started. Actress. Very bad actress. Cain came. After a few times, Abel came. It was very fast. But Cain killed Abel. You know where the sin can bring us. Criminality started. And it shocked Adam and Eve so very much. We have only two children. How the brother can kill? They were very shocked. And God said to Cain, you go far from your parents. You will be like a vagabond. This is the English word. And just imagine Adam and Eve, two of them, thinking, my brothers and sisters, I will take a risk to say that Adam hated Eve in the very deep way. He didn't love Eve anymore. That is the reason why it took 100 years before Seth can come. Just imagine, Abel came, but Seth came when Adam was 130. After many years, and because he was 18, his wife, and also not mentioning God in his life, said, we are in trouble, we are in trouble. But God was working in the heart of Adam so that he can come back to himself and have children so that all the world can be full of people. And the Bible said In Genesis 4, we will see the genealogy of Cain. Genealogy is very important. Don't neglect genealogy in the Bible. It has many things to say to help us understand. And the son of Adam, Lamech, will have two wives. It's the beginning of polygamy. But I'm very interested in the genealogy of Seth. Chapter 5, you will see the genealogy of Seth. Very important. I learned so many things in that genealogy. They said, when Adam was, we are talking about sin, how sin can destroy the family, how sin can bring you in the mentality that is not normal. You will not have love anymore. You will not have joy anymore. No peace, no kindness, nothing. You will be like an animal. But the Lord was working in the heart of Adam. Adam, forgive your wife. Adam, please, don't be hard with him. Please, don't. And until Adam could cool down and go to Eve, they could have Seth. And the Bible said, when Seth came, then they start worshiping God again. All that time, they were not worshiping God anymore. What were they doing? If you don't worship God, if you don't listen, what are you doing? Quarreling, and maybe fighting, maybe because God is not there in the middle. But finally, Seth came. Seth came. After Seth, Enosh came. After Enosh, I think it was Kenan, came. After Kenan, Mahalali came. After Malahi came, Jared came. After Jared, it was Enoch. Don't confuse Enosh and Enoch. Enoch. I'm very interested with that man, Enoch. People were living longer. Just imagine Adam died when he was 930. Many years. But the land is cursed because of the sin. You can work hard, but you don't have the fruits of your hard work. It was a very bad situation. They were in great poverty. Finally, Enoch, when he was 65, he said, No. There is a problem. Something is wrong. Jared, my dad, what is going on? We have been like this all the time. This is me thinking. I said, if I want to tell the story, if I want to make a cartoon, I want to write a cartoon to help people to understand the story, the genealogy. This is how I can do it. I said, my father Jared, what is going on? We have been doing like this all the time. He said, no, my son. Your grandpa Adam is still alive. Why don't you go to him and ask him? It's not written in the Bible. I'm telling story. I'm thinking. He said, oh, pastor, you are telling stories. Yeah, I'm telling stories. But it's making sense. Enoch will go to his grandfather Adam. This is like I'm talking to this. He said, Grandpa, and Adam was something like 600. He was still alive when Enoch was born. Adam didn't die yet. He said, Grandpa, we are having a problem. I saw Grandpa Seth in great poverty. He's working hard, but nothing the land is giving. I saw that Grandpa, and he started talking about all his is fathers. Don't forget that in the time they were saying the father of Abraham, the father of Isaac, the father of Jacob. I'm the father of my grand. I'm the son of my grand. My grandfather. This was the tradition. And finally, Adam will tell him the truth. You see, it isn't to be like this. I'm the first who was born, who was created. I was in good relationship with the Father. Everything were okay. Until the devil came. He said, "Oh, is he a good man?" "Oh, a very good man. Very kind man. We had everything we needed. Until the devil came in between." He said, "Grandpa, do you think we can live again as we used to live?" I said, "I don't know, but maybe." "How were you talking with him?" I said, we could listen to the voice. And we can talk. "Did you see?" "No, we never saw him, but we could talk." "Can I talk to him?" I said, "Try, maybe he will answer you." "Okay, Enoch. Grandpa, thank you. I'm going back home." When he was going back home, he reached a place. I'm telling story. I'm thinking. Just so that he reached a place. He was alone. He said, "God of my father, Adam. God of my father, Seth. God of my father, Enoch. God of my father Canaan, my father Mahalaleli, my father, can you listen to me?"
"Yes, I can listen to you."
"Lord, I want to walk with you. Is it possible? I'm a sin." I say, "Yes, you can work with me." And the Bible says you worked with God 300 years. And when he was 365, people did not see him again. But he has a son, Methuselah. He's the oldest man in the world. He died when he was 962 years. Methuselah. And after Methuselah, Lamech came. And after Lamech, Noah came. Now, I want the pastor to read what was said when Noah was born.
So Genesis 5 and
29.
So Lamech had lived 182 years. He fathered a son, verse 29, and called his name Noah, saying, "Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief or rest from our work and from the painful toil of our hands."
Do you understand? Now they were suffering too much. Just imagine, Adam died when he was 930, Seth 912, Enosh 905, Kenai 910, and Mahalalel 895. Jared died when he was 962. Enosh, they didn't see him when he was 365. Methuselah died when he was 969. And Lamech, 770. Noah came and people said, "We are tired to live longer in the land that is not producing things that can help us to maintain our life." They were suffering too much. And when Noah came, sin, God destroyed all the world. Only 8 people were saved. All of us, we are from those 8 people. Mm-hmm. All of us as we are here. But God said, "My spirit will not be longer again in the land." Instead of taking long, because of the love of God, he will reduce that to 120. When? I said, oh, yeah. This is a blessing. How can you live 900 years in pain all the time? I'm only 50, 55. But sometimes you are having a problem to stand up. I said, eesh, my God. And what about when you are 900? Yeah, I would like to stay in America because in America you have food, you have farms. But in Congo, we don't have food. I said, God, don't let me live longer if I cannot maintain my body. And it was the case. They were living in a very bad situation. And the Lord, in His love, He said, I will reduce your pain. Reducing the pain means reduce the time of living in this world. That is the reason why when you have somebody in the hospital is living artificially, they will call the members of the family. They will say, your member of the family is suffering a lot. We want to release him. Do you want us to take her? And the family can decide. They say, oh yeah, and it will be good for him. This is what God did when Noah came. And they said, all this happened consequences of the sin. Now, the Lord will help people to understand that hatred, all kind of evil, is the consequences of the sin, and it will send Adam, the first covenant with Adam. We call that in French, Adamic covenant. Things didn't work, but in the garden, the Lord will think about Jesus. He said, Jesus will come from the Garden of Eden. He will do the second covenant with Noah, thinking about Jesus Christ. The third covenant with Abraham. He said, your descendants, thinking about, about the Lord Jesus Christ. David, the father of covenant, thinking about Jesus Christ. All those who came, first covenant with Adam, with Noah, with Abraham, with David, it was just preparing the messianic covenant. And when the Lord Jesus will come, He will give the right solution for all our problems that we have. Consequences of our separation with His Father because of sin. That is the reason why we are going to finish by reading John 8, verse 30-45. Now we live where we see that the problem of sin started there, and the Lord is coming now to give the solution. But when He came, there was a problem. The sin was rooted and gave another mentality to people. People had another mentality. We are children of Abraham. We are children. We are not slaves. We are okay. This is what they were saying. And the Lord Jesus suffered a lot to help them understand that, no, listen to me, you. Listen to me, you will be free. Listen to me. This is now what Pastor will read for us.
John 8:30 into what verse, brother?
47.
Okay. As He was saying these things, many believed in Him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, if you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered Him, we are offspring of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did, but now you seek to kill me. A man who has told you the truth that I heard from God, this is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? I tell you the truth. Why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you. Now, the Lord Jesus did not suffer only on the cross. He suffered also when he was born, suffered. When he was trying to convince people, he was suffering too much. Because the evil, the mentality was very evil, rooted in the wrong things. We are children of Abraham. Today, Abraham is replaced by, we are Christian. But the Lord is saying something very important here. You are free. But I don't want you only to be free. I want you to be really free. There is a difference between I'm a sinner. We are all of us a sinner. But practice sin, it's something else. And the Lord was talking to the Jews, but some of them believed in him. And I said, those who believed in him, he started saying to them, he said, because it was very difficult for Jews to believe in Jesus. But those who believed in him, he paid attention of them and said, you are lucky, if I can say that. But now I'm telling you, follow what I'm telling you, you will be really free. Free and really free is a process. I'm still fighting many things in my life. At the same time, I'm a Christian. I'm at the same time, I'm a child of God. But at the same time, I'm also, I will fight until the last day of my life. But my victory is in Jesus. Always trusting in Jesus Christ. And do you remember Ephesians 2, 8 to 10? Please, Pastor, you will read that for me. It's very important. So that nobody can boast. Can say, me. No. Listen to what he says.
For by grace you have been saved through faith.
Yes.
And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast.
Two things. God will give you grace. You will give something, faith. But God, through Jesus Christ, was giving them grace, but they could not accept it because they didn't believe. He said, believe in me. I came here to save you. You will be free. And it was a big problem for them to understand. But those who understood, he started saying good words to them. Brothers and sisters, the Lord came so that we can be really free. We are living in the very, very bad time. You need to know that. Very bad time. And what the Bible says, it's only the beginning. What you see, it's only the beginning. What should we do now? Many people are saying, Maranatha, Jesus come. Don't say that. Because the Bible said, he's not coming soon because he's patient. He's waiting for you to be really free. Because what happened at the time of Noah will happen again. What happened? Very few were saved. And the Lord said, it's not those who are saying, Jesus, 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 who will inherit the kingdom of God, but those who are, because we will meet with the Lord in the air. You need to be light. And it's a process. And say, Lord, grace. We are the beggars of the grace of Lord. Lord, grace. Lord, grace. Lord, you woke up in the morning, Lord, grace. Lord, grace. Lord, grace. And this is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you pray, you need to say, God, do not let me fall in temptation. The Lord came so that we can be very free. Free, free, free. And I like what John said in John 1:29. I think we are about finished.
Oh, you're good on time. John 1:29 is where he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Yeah, takes away. John is the man that Jesus boasted. He said, all the men that were born from the woman, no one is greater than John. And John gave an information. Be careful with the Lord. When you follow Jesus Christ, you need to hear what he's saying. He's saying good things that can make us free. He said, he's taking away. Which means all the time when we woke up in the morning, we say, Lord, help me. I want you to wash me, to wash me, to wash me. Why? He died. He died for that also. He died so that we can be free, really free. And one day the Lord will say, the master of this world is coming. But when he comes to me, he found nothing of him in me. When the Lord just started doing something in you, the goal is to wash you inside so that when the enemy, the one who is pushing us to be against God will come, he said, oh, he used to be like this. He used to obey me. Now he's not obeying me. I said, no, now I'm obeying to the Lord. And one day they were forcing the disciples of the Lord. They said, you should not preach again about him. I said, we saw things. We hear things. If you want to kill us, kill. But we will keep saying what he wants. We will not obey you. And they reached a level of maturity. They were very mature. And their life meant nothing. And the Lord reached all the world from the faithfulness of those people. Our world is very sick, my brothers and sisters. Our world is very sick. But we, children of God, we are the hope of our world. We are the light. In Jesus, we can. We will not follow the tradition. Now we will follow the word of the Lord Jesus Christ as he's preaching us. Is our way. We will finish by reading John 20. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ will teach people that I came to free you. I want you to be really free, not half, totally free. And he will die. When he will come to death again, he will say something very important. In my country, the last word of somebody is the most important. The last word. This is one of the last words of the Lord Jesus. If you can stay 100 years, but after you die, people will ask only the last word. What was the last word of mom? What was the last word of dad? And here you are very clever. You write it down. So that when you will not be there, people can refer to that. And what is the last word? One of the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very important. He said something when he came back to life. He met with his disciples. We should not neglect that. We should be very careful with the words of Jesus Christ, because it's the word of God. Let's see what is said from 19 to 23.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld."
Verse 23 troubled my mind. And the door were closed, and they will see the Lord Jesus among them. He will show them the hand. Because they were not believing. Remember what happened. Mary of Magdala. This is John 20, 1, 2. Went to the grave. The grave was empty. And she went to tell Peter and John, "The grave is empty." And Peter and John went to the grave, and they found that the grave was empty. But Jesus Christ did not show himself to Peter and John. And Mary of Magdala, he has seven demons, and the Lord helped him. One demon can disturb your life as you have no idea. Just have the demon of life. You will be miserable. One demon. But she has seven demons. And the Lord helped her. She starts following the Lord with love, with love, with love. And when she came back to the grave, to the tomb again, and she found a garden, a jardinier, a garden. And he said to him, "If it's you who took my master, please give me my master. I want my master." And the Lord said to her, "Mary, Mary." And say, "Rabuni, you wanted to..." I said, no, don't hug me. Now, this is my problem. Peter, John were the leaders of the disciples. Do you remember when he took them to the mountain? Jesus changed. He showed them his glory. Why Jesus did not show himself to Peter and John? Because they were not believing. And credulity. Even when he showed up again, they were all, even the day of he was going back, some of them did not believe. Big problem. But that woman, I said, "Rabuni," I said, go and tell them that I'm alive. I will meet them in Galilee. It's very different from what happened in the Garden of Eden. It was in the Garden of Eden that the woman lost all her value, because God himself said, from now on, you will depend totally on the man. The man can do whatever he wants. They will stone the woman. And the Lord was there to help them slowly by slowly to change their mind. And he said, "You respect your tradition, but you don't want to respect." In the beginning, it was not like that. Chase her and give her a letter. In the beginning, it was not like that. The sin is the one brought that. But now it was like the Lord was rehabilitation of the woman in the Garden of Eden. It was in the garden. In Genesis, in the garden, where the tomb is, in the garden. I'm not saying that the woman must be a pastor or what. No, I'm saying that now the woman, the sin is separating people. The sin is putting some people down, but the Lord Jesus is coming to put Jesus Christ in Luke 8, 1 to 3 is saying that he has his disciples and some women who were helping him with his goods, which means the Lord died so that the woman can also found her place next to a man. Like here, it's very difficult to know the value of the woman. But in Africa, the woman is stronger than a man. And if you go to the villages, you will see every day at 5 a.m., the women will wake up, go to look for water, and go up to the field. The women are very strong. They are taking, even if you left the house from the morning up to 8 p.m., when you will come back, the men will say, I'm tired. And the women will go to the kitchen looking for a way to feed the men. This is how things were in the beginning, a helper. The one who is helping is stronger than the man who is receiving help. But the devil destroyed that. And the Lord just came and said, yeah, I want to arrange that again. Why the Lord Jesus came? The Lord Jesus came to give the solution from our sin. He came to reconcile us with the Father. He came to give us a ministry. We need to live to preach the Word of God around us. He came for the rehabilitation of the woman. Thank you.
That's, amen. Brother, I think you had one more verse I can read for you.
Yes.
Luke chapter 17, talking about forgiveness in our relationships.
Yeah.
So Luke 17 talks about if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent,
yes,
forgive him. So maybe talk a little bit about forgiveness at the end.
Yeah. This is very, 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 very important. And when the Lord Jesus will come back to life again, he will give the Holy Spirit to it's a little bit different from the day of Pentecost. But he said, receive the Holy Spirit. We build our church on the foundation of what the disciples did. We cannot use another foundation. You are the foundation, you, the disciples. If you forgive someone, you will be forgiven. But if you don't forgive him, he will not be forgiven. We need to understand that. What does it mean? It means, according to Matthew 18, if you are in the church, brother or sister come to you, he said, is doing something wrong. He said, my brother, my sister, what you are doing is against the new life that the Lord is giving to us. You say, oh, sorry, I'm sorry. It will finish there. You are forgiven, and the Bible said you want your brother. But if you said, no, this is my private life. I don't want you to be involved in my private life. Okay? But you need to go to the church and bring 2 people. You say, brother, what you are doing is wrong. He said, this is my private life. And you must come to the church and say, we have a brother here. We love him. He will still be a member of the church. But we will not his sin is not forgiven. Don't think that when you are coming to the church, you don't want to repent. Your sin is not forgiven. It will be forgiven only if you feel sorry of what you did. This is what the Bible is telling us. And the Lord came also to tell each other. We need to be very careful. When somebody comes and said, I'm sorry, forgive me. You need to forgive him, even if he comes 7 times a day. The man's problem is not asking for forgiveness, but you regret what you are doing. But I need to have also a discernment to understand that no, I think the devil is taking advantage on. I must ask you, how can I help you with that weaknesses? This is also my goal. I say, okay, pray with me, Lord. My brother, he is here. He is having a problem. Please help him. Please help him. The problem is, if you don't want to repent, your sin is not forgiven. This is the sinning against the Holy Spirit who is speaking to your heart so that you can receive grace. If you refuse grace, there is no other sacrifice. There is nothing to do. The Lord paid for us. If you don't accept that, you will pay for yourself. Yeah, this is, it's not, we should not be confused on that. It's forgive your brother all the time is coming to you saying to you, I'm sorry. But if he comes to you, forgive me if I did something wrong to you. This is not, he's not sorry. His heart is not convinced that he did something wrong. And that sin remains until you will say, I'm sorry, I regret, with the intention to abandon that. God like that. Even if your sin is big like America, but when you said, Lord, I'm sorry, help me to overcome this behavior, the Lord is going to help you. But if you don't regret, if you are not sorry, it's a problem. Yeah, this is a little bit what I wanted to say for that. That's why the Lord said, if you forgive, it will be forgiven. But if you don't forgive, if somebody refuse to repent, don't forgive him. He's not sorry. He will not be forgiven. But when somebody is sorry, you must forgive him. And if you forgive him, me also in heaven, I will forgive him. You need it, the rehabilitation of the humanity. A man became like God. He can close here, God will close there. He can open here, God will open there. As it was the idea of God when he created man and woman in the garden. And this is the work that the Lord Jesus did when he was in this world.
Yeah. Thank you, my brother. Let me come and pray for you, my brother, yes. And then we'll... very good words for us also as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace of your covenant plan from the garden all the way to the garden tomb, and knowing, Lord, that you are a gracious and forgiving God to those who repent, and Lord, you are gracious to women like Mary and to men like Peter and Thomas and others like us who doubt and struggle. Lord, we thank you that you have grace that can make us truly free, free indeed. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help us to deal with sin in our own lives and to help us know how we can help other brothers and sisters who are in sin and to help them see when they are not living according to your word and to even bring others alongside where we need that help. And so I just thank you so much for these good reminders from my good brother. I pray you would bless him and his family and his travels. Thank you for his health and for his ministry. We pray that you would sustain those churches and all those that we saw in the pictures earlier. And we just pray and commit this dear brother and his ministry and his time with us for the glory of Christ. We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay.